worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. I have a question that in my darkest moments, I ask myself. How could God love me, a broken and miserable sinner? How could God love me? And I thought about that question a lot with this passage, because I thought about the temptations that we experience and the darkness that we experience in the midst of those temptations. Think of those things that tempt you, that you are willing to throw away your relationships for, you're willing to damage your relationships for. Think about those things that just like in the back of your mind gnaw at you and say, I want you to do this and you should selfishly do this even though doing this will hurt someone else or will tear you apart from God. And think about the darkness of those moments when that temptation is with you. Think about the darkness of those moments when you let the temptation win. When you do those things that you know are going to tear your loves apart, tear your relationships apart, cast you away from God in your heart. Think about the darkness when the temptation wins. In those moments when you ask yourself, how could God love me? Think about how far away you feel from God in those moments. I don't want to think about trial here. I don't want to think about the difficult times of life. That is a totally different thing. And yes, in those times, we also feel far away from God. But this is different. Because this isn't that God is far away. It's that we have taken ourselves away from God. We have run as far in the other direction as we can. And in that darkness, you think about, how could God be here with me now? Why would God even be here with me now? How could God love me now? That darkness of temptation and that darkness of sin. And how it just envelops you. As Christians, we get to believe something unique. That our God came to earth and walked amongst us. That our God experienced the temptations that we experience. Our God experienced the pain that we experience. Our God lived with us and saw us for who we are and gave himself anyway. And I think about this scene in the desert. And it's always written, both the Matthew and the Luke version have it written so robotic and dry. Like Jesus is just like, nope, here's the right answer. Which if Jesus was just like, nope, here's the right answer, it wasn't really temptation. He wasn't struggling with it. But think about what the devil offered him. That first temptation, you are hungry, you are in pain, your body needs something. So just fix it. Does it really matter that much if you fasted this whole time? Does it really matter if you fail on the spiritual practice? Does it really matter? Just fix it. Your body clearly needs it. Just fix it. That should feel familiar to you. We are called to lives of generosity, of sacrifice, of not having. And yet, any time where our faith becomes uncomfortable, where we have to sacrifice, or somebody might treat us worse because of our faith, we start getting angry and being like, no. The moment that we have to fight for our faith, it becomes too difficult. So we water it down and we make it more palatable. Instead of truly sacrificing of ourselves and allowing ourselves to feel pain for the sake of our faith and our love and our relationships, we water it down to something. To our faith doesn't challenge us. We don't feel pain. We don't actually have to sacrifice. It's nice. We come to church. We have fellowship. And then that's the end of our faith. And if somebody dares question if we should have even special treatment, we start getting mad. If people don't pamper our faith, we get angry and say that we are uniquely tortured and prejudiced against. If we aren't pampered. Can you give up something that your body temporarily needs or your life temporarily needs for a moment for your faith? In the Matthew version, the angels, immediately after the scene, the angels come and take care of Jesus. Are you willing to temporarily sacrifice of yourself for your faith? And then the second one is so tempting. All the devil says is, simply bow to me and you will have everything. Nothing will you be denied if you simply bow to me. Again, we are called to lives of generosity and sacrifice, and yet we tend to live lives of squirreling and hoarding. We restrict our generosity in fear, and sometimes not even fear for survival, but fear that we might not be quite as comfortable as we want to be. Again, we water down our faith in this call from God. We water it down to where we can say, oh, I've given a little bit, that's good enough. Generosity requires sacrifice, requires you to actually lose something. I'd forgotten this, it just popped into my head, and I'm so glad it did. Nora was reading an article the other day about frugality. And you know what one of the things they said you should do to be for frugal? Cut back on your tithing. Cut back on your charitable giving. Cut back on your generosity, because that will make you more frugal. Is that our faith of collecting and gathering and having for ourselves? Do we want more of something? Do we want it all, or at least more of it? Or are we willing to actually follow God and generously give? And mind you, please hear this not as a, I don't think this congregation is generous. My hair is almost back, but not quite. This is a generous congregation. But is your generosity actually causing you discomfort, or is it just what you can easily spare? And then that third temptation, and this is the one I think we hear the most, we feel the most inside our bones. Prove yourself to me, God. Prove yourself to me. I am in pain. Prove yourself to me. I am in danger. Prove yourself to me. Because that's what he's asking. You're in a difficult situation, and you want to know that God is there with you. So just have God prove God's self. Have God prove that God is there with you today. And in our pain and struggle, in our difficulty, that's when we get tempted by this. God, if you're there, this will go the way that I want. God, if you're there, I will not feel any pain anymore. God, if you are real, this struggle will leave me. This is when we start looking for vending machine Jesus. Everyone's awake now. But honestly, though, this is when we start looking for vending machine Jesus. The Jesus that we just type in our prayer and we get exactly what we want. And if we don't, then God isn't there and God isn't real. Prove yourself to me, God. Prove that you exist. This temptation should feel so real for all of us. So, a little bit of a reality check, though. Because every once in a while, you need to do a reality check. Like, okay, clearly I'm a broken and miserable sinner. Clearly I am guilty of all of this, 100%. But you need to check reality. Because the disciples and the people that Jesus existed with were not somehow better. They also failed the same way we do. We fail in new ways, but the same, not a new, unique level of failure. And Jesus, living with them for 33 years, ministering to them for 3 years, took that cross anyway. Jesus saw the darkness of humanity, the darkness of temptation, walked amongst those who sinned constantly, and took that cross anyway. And so, absolutely, we need to be acutely aware of the darkness of temptation, the darkness of sin, the darkness of throwing away your relationships and choosing yourself over those that you love. We need to be acutely aware of this, knowing that our Savior took those temptations as well and passed those tests. We need to be acutely aware and repent. Remember, repent is two parts, confess and turn away. But we also need to be acutely aware of the cross. That Jesus lived amongst us, saw us for who we are. Who we are inherently as broken and dark people. And took that cross anyway to save us out of love. The season of Lent, I want you to focus on your sin. Absolutely. But I do not want that hope of the cross to be far from your mind. Because we are aware of our sin not in fear, but because somebody came and saved us, and we want to live in his example. In the darkness of temptation, God is there with you. God weeps when we sin. God hates sin. This damages our relationship with God, but God does not abandon us. So as we seek to repent, may we know God is here with us even in our sin. And that we have hope because of Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.